You're listening to the Ministry Grow Show, brought to you by Reliant Creative, the creative agency for gospel-centered ministries. Find out more at reliantcreative.org.
Welcome to the Ministry Grow Show, a podcast dedicated to helping churches and ministries grow and make more effective impacts for the kingdom of God in an ever-changing digital world. Whether you're building and growing a gospel-centered ministry or leading a church, if you want insight into the strategies, struggles, challenges, and successes of other ministry leaders, you've come to the right place. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Julia Block Pearson. She is the founder of Stratos Creative Marketing. Julia, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Zach. I'm excited.
Yeah. We were talking offline a little bit, and as we were riffing, I got more and more excited about this conversation. So excited to have you on, talk about some marketing for the church space, Christian nonprofit space. But before we get into that, can you just kind of talk a little bit about what Stratos Creative Marketing is, what you guys do, why you exist, maybe some of that origin story stuff that everybody mm-hmm. loves?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Julia, as Zach mentioned. I started Stratos 5 years ago. I started as a freelancer. Our whole mission is to help improve organizations' relationship with social media. So our deal is social. We love it through and through, both paid and organic. But also even making like social media optimized websites, things like that. So that's a little bit about what we do. I actually came out of the ministry space 5 years ago. I moved into the nonprofit world. Just really didn't find like a fit, but I was formally trained as a youth pastor. And that's like what I did for a while, for 5 years. And so it's been really fun to use some of those same people skills in Stratos. Really, the reason I started Stratos was because I had been in a lot of toxic work environments, both like in the nonprofit world and in the church space. Like, I had pastors who were bosses who were not great bosses and really needed to go to therapy. And so I decided, hey, like, I need to do my own thing. Like, I was really burnt out. And what can I do? And so as the youngest person at every nonprofit and at every church, I had always been put in charge of the social media. So I was like the youth pastor / social media person. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, maybe people would pay me to do this. And so that is how it all started. But really, like, I love the question about, like, why does Stratos exist? Stratos exists to help improve people's relationship with social media. But Stratos really, really exists to create good working environments for myself and our team. I was getting really tired of working in spaces that were toxic and that were not life-giving, and so I wanted to create a space that could do that for our team. And so how we do it is through social media, but it's been really fun to grow a team. 5 years ago, I was on my own, and now we have a team of 12 people.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's this is maybe going off topic of what we discussed we were going to talk about offline, but that idea – let's discuss that idea of the, or maybe some of the inner workings of that burnout piece, because you would be surprised how many times I've talked to creatives who have come out of the church space or the Christian nonprofit space, mm-hmm. totally burnt out by the church, not wanting to have mm-hmm. anything to do with using their creative talents for kingdom specific work ever again, because either a church leader, a marketing director, a media director, or a pastor ran them so hard. What is it mm-hmm. that's going on, do you think, within the Christian world that is I think there's a lot of – they're taking advantage of creatives. Maybe sometimes or a lot of times the heart motivation is that it just is bad, toxic work environments. Sometimes maybe it's got to be that there's just not an understanding of what goes into creative and what goes into the process of mm-hmm. of the creative process. Like, what are some of your thoughts on that? Because, man, the number of times I've heard the same story as yours, I was burnt out by the church. I don't want to have anything to do with it ever again. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they land mm-hmm. at my doorstep or your marketing agency's mm-hmm. doorstep going, hey, I still yeah. want to use my creative gifts. I want to use the gifts that God's given me to invest and pour into kingdom focused work, kingdom impact work. But I never want to work for a church again. Like, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So yes, all of the above. So a little bit of my story, like I was like fresh out of college, 23, 24. And I sat down with the senior pastor who was my supervisor at the time. I was the youth pastor. And he told me that I was the most discouraging person that he had ever worked with. So I know you guys have only known me for 5 minutes, but hopefully you register by my voice that I am uplifting and lighthearted. And so that was really hard to take. But he also told me that he had hired me because I was, in these words, he said, I was single, not married, young, and I should have way more energy and I should put more than 40 hours in. The week, and that I should be doing more. And so I think part of the problem is, yes, non-creatives don't know how to manage creatives. I think that that's part of it. But I also think that, here we're going to get into like my own personal theology. I think that, church has become more about work than anything else. And yes, like when a church has employees, like we should have expectations for them. But one of my values at Stratos is humans first, workers second. And I think the problem is that the church often has that in reverse. Mm-hmm. Like, you're working for us and we need to get the most out of you. Not realizing that we are humans first and also like spiritual beings and like creative beings, and that needs to be nurtured. And the work comes from that. Like, I'm a big John Mark Comer fan, and he writes lots of great books about the work and what work should look like in kingdom spaces. But like, God created us to work, but he also created us for like his personal enjoyment. And so if we if we take work and put it above our humanity, like suddenly like we have actually like reordered things. Like, that's not how even God created it, in my opinion. And so I think that that's one of the biggest things that leads to burnout, both for creatives but also non-creatives, that we're treated like assets rather than people. Suddenly, like, I was being told, like, hey, you should not have a work-life balance because you're not married and you don't have kids. Mm-hmm. And so, like, please devote all of your time to our social media, our youth ministry. Like, when I was like, I need to have a life also. Like, and where does that come in? And so then suddenly, like, church equaled work and not, like, a life-giving relationship that, like, was facilitated by this community. So that's my two cents.
Yeah. There's this tendency to do rather than, man, mm-hmm. we need space to be at times or mm-hmm. maybe more right. often. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think especially as creatives, we need space to think. Like, and when we have space to think, we can come up with some of our best ideas. Mm. Or think and collaborate and just be like, if you think about people who are in the arts or in music, like, you can't force those things all the time. Like, when they hit you, they hit you, and then you can be creative. Like, this weekend, I had this idea for this new brand, and I was so excited about it. I had insomnia, like, had so many ideas just pouring out, and it was so good that, like, the next day on a Saturday, I sat down and, like, worked on all of this because I was so excited and I felt so creative. That doesn't come every day for every creative. And, like, I think that sometimes people in those supervisory roles don't necessarily understand it, especially if their gifting is in administration or teaching or other things. So,
yeah, coming at the creative process from the perspective of like a musician, right? I think you can look at musicians who create music for the algorithm. That's going to be, it's guaranteed. You follow this algorithm, you follow this plan or structure to your music, and it's going to be guaranteed to reach the most number of people and make you the most amount of money, versus the artists and singer-songwriters that are just pouring out from their heart in that creative process. Those songs and that music ends up usually, in most cases, being the stuff that lasts, right? You might have a song that's written for the algorithm that might hit the top charts faster and be up there for a couple of weeks. But the stuff that really lasts the next couple of decades are the things that are created by a creative individual or musician in this case, who have poured their heart and soul into that piece. And so pulling it back into the Christian creative or church communication space, I think one of the things that happens with this rhythm that we've created, where everything has to be new and fresh every single week, it creates a rhythm that we can't, I mean, it's really difficult to keep up with, but it also creates that algorithm type approach to the creative process. Is, hey, just fit it into these templates and you're good to go. And what ends up happening is you're missing out on that co-creation aspect of being a creator, totally. Right? There is a, when we are creating, like you talked about, where you were up all night, you had insomnia, you woke up the next day and you worked all Saturday on something because you were inspired by something. There's a co-creation element that's taking place during that night and then that next day that you can't replicate. And I think that that's maybe some of the stuff that gets missed within specifically the church marketing world is, man, we're just creating for the algorithm. We're creating because it has to be done and it has to be done by Sunday. And if it's not done by Sunday, then man, your job's on the line. It's like, that's not how the creative process really works in any other venue.
Right. And as somebody who like manages creatives in our agency, like you still need to have like accountability. You still like there are days where you just have to produce because that is the expectation. And so like for anybody who's listening to us and saying like Zach and Julia, that's not realistic. Like I can't do that. I get it. Like there are days where you're like, sorry, designer, you got to produce something even if you don't feel inspired. But like I think understanding that and even understanding like how do my creatives work and what do they love and what do they not love and like what inspires them, like then that's where you can even take that co-creation into that space where it becomes a collaborative co-creation of like, hey, if I know like my designers need like some caffeine, some great music, and they need to go to a coffee shop, maybe I say, hey, don't work from the church office. Go out. Here's $5. Go get some Starbucks, even though Starbucks costs way more than $5. You can say, like, hey, let me create this atmosphere for which you might be more inspired. And so, like, then we as leaders might say, I don't get you and your processes, like, because I'm not a creative. But, like, I know enough to know that this will help. And so I think that then we become people who can nurture the creatives. Because really it is a tragedy. Like I have several creatives on my staff who came out of the church world. And like you said, were so burnt out that like some of them have left the church altogether. And like in my like Jesus is not done with him. So like, I really believe that, but like, what a tragedy that as leaders we're wasting this talent in so much as people are leaving the church because they feel so burnt out.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, I can't count the number of times where I've had conversations with creatives with that exact same story. It's like, man, I was working at a church. I was doing 70, 80 hours a week to try to get that Sunday's content done in time and getting not paid for 70 or 80 hours, getting paid for the 40 or 30 or 20 that I was signed up for. And then even that rate that I was getting paid at was not market rates where, and so they go out and they break off and at the very least just don't want to use their creative talents for the church or kingdom work. Like you said, oftentimes the case is they don't want to have anything to do with the church ever again altogether. And man, it's just a sad reality. For sure. And it happens so many times. I've heard that story so many times over and over and over again. And so, there's all kinds of stuff going on there. That
this could be a whole soapbox on its own. So
it could be a series, a three episodic series on treating creatives appropriately. I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you guys are doing and seeing in the social media space and the digital conversation. And maybe specifically, let's start with what does it look like for Christian ministries and churches to be generating leads and finding people in the community and meeting them where they're at, specifically in this digital conversation? Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I think I've really struggled with as I've watched the church as a whole, a big C church, behave in the digital conversation. Mm-hmm. Even as we've gotten a lot better at it in the last 3 years, our behaviors are still really dysfunctional in digital. And so what are you seeing that's working? What are the opportunities that we're missing out on? How can we be better at meeting people where they're at, in the places where they're spending their time and attention?
So this is one of my favorite topics to talk about because just like I mentioned, like our organization has this like human first, worker second value. I really love approaching marketing in general with a human first mentality, which everybody should, but especially if you're a faith-based organization. Don't not. I don't know how to say that more grammatically correct. But like you have to approach people like they are humans first, and then that's where you're going to find them in the space of their needs. So if we like zoom back out and we think about churches, parachurch organizations, kingdom-oriented organizations, like if our purpose is to grow the kingdom, we need to like be going out and finding people and not just waiting for them to come to us. Having the tools that if they come to us and they need something, like those should all be set up. But we also can go find them. So one of my favorite things, because we do the work in social media that we do, is we have gotten into this ad space. And it's a space that I don't see very many churches in. Partially it's because of budgets. There's like a lot of different reasons. But I dream and imagine of a world that, like, my church, maybe. So one of the churches that I used to go to had a huge ministry for people with disabilities. The community knew about it, but, like, not everybody knew about it. What if they had a resource for parents who had just learned that their child had a disability, and it shows up in social media feeds as like an ad, and those parents are downloading it, and this church becomes this trusted resource. Or another example, like I worked with a church who had a big divorce care ministry, and what if that church, partnering with a therapist, created a guide for like how to talk with your kids about like this impending divorce. Like, and people were downloading that, learning more about it. And then they're put on an email list or whatever it might be, and they continue to get resources. Because then, in my opinion, the church, and this is more for churches, less for parachurch, but could totally be applied. Then the church is stepping into the space that these people are already in. There's a multitude of things. Like, a youth pastor could easily develop, like, 10 things you need to talk about with your teenager before they go off to college. And you can make them, like, spiritual. You can make them, like, some might be practical, some might be spiritual. But suddenly you're entering into conversations that your people are already having, like, your community's already having. And suddenly you become the church or the organization that is in touch. Like, you're not out of touch anymore. Like, we've talked, like, some people that we've worked with are, like, 15 years behind in the digital space. Like, how can we, like, get up to speed with where the conversations are of in our community, in our families, and become like this trusted resource, where then people might say, like, wow, that church put out that guide for how to talk to your kids about divorce. It was so helpful. I'm looking for a community post-divorce. Maybe I should try them out. Because then you are elevating your church to top of mind. Parachurch organization could do the same thing. Like, I worked with a faith-based food distribution center, and one of the things that we put out was where to find clothing closets, like all of these, like, other, like, almost like a directory of resources that people could, like, that their audience would find helpful. And so suddenly, like, the people who were signing up were their target audience. But then also, like, they also created the same thing that was more donor-focused, that was, like, here's how to help people find these things, or five tips on how to help your neighbor when they're, like, down, or something like that. Suddenly, like, you're putting yourself into this position, and again, it's this human first, like, we're entering into the conversations that are already existing in our community, rather than saying, like, hey, come to church, like, just come to church, like, because if we are just waiting for people to just come, like, we're gonna be waiting for a longer time than if we, like, entered into that space with them.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've, I think, recognized playing and working in this space in the last 12, 13 years, is most of the content that we're creating and that we're pushing out into the digital world is come to us. Here's our next sermon series that we're going to be starting this Sunday. Come to Sunday service. Here's our trunk or treat event. Here's our Easter event. Here's our come to us. Come to listen to our podcast. Come consume our Bible training. Come take this course, come. And man, it's not meeting people where they're at. We're not stepping into a need and saying, how can we serve and be of value in your current situation, in your place, right? Our theology says and agrees with that, right? We serve a God that, this is the only religion, I've said this 100 times on this show, this is the only religion where our God comes down off the mountain, meets us in our brokenness, in our sin, in our depravity, and says, I'm going to make a way to pull you out of this, and I'm going to call you into something better, right? Every other religion requires us to get up to the top of the mountain in our goodness and through our works to be good enough to stand before whatever God that is. And so our theology says, man, we serve this God that came into our brokenness and depravity and met us where we're at. But our practices in the digital space do not follow that theology. Everything has come to us, consume our stuff, come take our courses, come meet us where we are at. And if we want to be effective in digital, if we want to use what I think – and would argue is the greatest communications tool and asset that we have access to since the printing press, right? This is the greatest communication shift in human history. How do we use that for the sake of the gospel? It is not by building ourselves up and building, and this is maybe where it gets complicated because we help build brands. Like, I'm all for building brand, but we can't build brand around inviting you to come to our stuff. Like, that, there's a place for that. There's a time for that.
Well, and I would...
And I even think we're... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think the place for it is after we've given people something. Like, we're like, when we are asking people to come to our stuff, we're, like, just asking for something without giving anything in return. Knowing that, like, our event will be great and they might have fun at Trunk or Treat. But, like, we are not... we're not entering into like a dialogue or a conversation. So like a personal story, like we, our daughter has some problems with her eyes and we found out that she might have to have eye surgery. It was a Saturday night. And on Saturday night, one church leader was like, tomorrow we're going to be talking about cell phones with kids. Very important topic. But I was like, I can't go. Like, I am broken up about this impending surgery. Like, that is what is going on in my life. And I think sometimes as churches or as parachurch organizations, we have our agenda, but like, we're not actually like thinking about, well, where are these people coming from? Like, if somebody is going through a divorce, their first thought is might not be, where should I go to church on Sunday? Like, their first thought is, how do I navigate this with my family? Same thing, like, for ours. Like, we had a health crisis. Like, our first thought is, like, not, hey, like, what church service should we go to, 8 a.m. or 10:30? Like, our thought is, like, how do we care for our family? And, like, we want a faith body to that, like, enters into that with us. Like, and so, long story short, like, other things happened and I love our church. So, like, but like, that moment, like, really rubbed me the wrong way because it felt very tone deaf in a way. And so I really think that that's, like, the time and place is that we're, like, hey, we're inviting people, but we're also, like, giving them things that, like, are going to help them flourish in their own lives.
This has been a really fun conversation and exciting to hear what you guys are doing and what God's doing through your ministry. I want to take a minute to pause for our sponsor, but when we come back, I want to continue talking with you and hear more about your ministry and what you guys are doing and what God's doing through you. Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money and marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results pages and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com. Learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up to get 20% off your first 3 months of management. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Julia Block Pearson. She is the founder of Stratos Creative Marketing. This is one of the things that I've struggled with the story brand process and going through that process. What they taught us is, hey, just give something away for free, get an email, and then go to work on the sales side. And man, for a plumber or a hair salon, that model works great, right? The story brands made a lot of money working with a lot of businesses with that model. But applying it to the Christian nonprofit and church space is a lot more nuanced and difficult than that, right? Mm-hmm. I can't just say, hey, here's a lead gen, valuable piece of content that could help mm-hmm. you in dealing with and navigating your potential impending divorce, and then spam you for the next 6 weeks inviting you to my Sunday service. Like that mm-hmm. does not work. In fact, you'll probably end up driving more people away from your church than you'd like.
100%.
Right? And so how do you continually meet people? I want to know what you think about this and how you think through this process. Mm-hmm. How do you continually meet people where they're at? Not just a one-time, here's a free giveaway and I've created a lead gen PDF and a felt needs article that relates to the specific thing that you might mm-hmm. be searching for on Google. Yes, we need to be intercepting the searches. I'm all for that.
Right.
But how do we take this a step further, especially in the social space, beyond just, man, what does it look like on some landing page or a place where there's not a lot of engagement?
Mm-hmm. So, philosophically, what I would say is when we're meeting people with a felt need, especially from, a spiritual or emotional angle, they don't need to be sold. They need support. Mm-hmm. And so, whereas, StoryBrand is, sales funnel, I'm peace out, nurture funnel all the way. Let's just nurture people where they're at. And so, for something like a divorce care, that's where I would be sending out emails afterwards. I would also be partnering with therapists in the congregation even, and saying hey, here are some great therapists who could help you with this. We have a client who she wants to work with moms who are empty nesters. And while she runs a business, she's also a person who loves Jesus. And so she is approaching this from a nurturing perspective. And so she had a college packing list that was a downloadable resource. And then for 10 weeks afterwards, people got 10 tips on how to help your kid adjust to college. A church could easily do something similar. And maybe in the PS you say, hey, by the way, we have a college ministry if her kid needs to get plugged in. You could have small little snippets, but your email should be packed in with value. So philosophically and practically, that's what I would do from the email side. The social side, we all know Facebook knows way too much about us. So before you're Julia, this is too creepy. What I would be doing is I would be collecting emails. And so back to the ads, you can set these up practically. You don't have to have a crazy ad spend. We do, most of our clients only do $5 a day. So very, very inexpensive ad spend. And most of our clients are getting emails for $2 or less. So super inexpensive. Then you're just nurturing these people, right? What I would do then is I would take all of the people and start retargeting them for ads. Because here's the thing, is as human beings on our social media, we are being targeted with ads all the time. And we don't actually even notice it. the other day I was scrolling through Instagram and I got 10 ads in a row. And I was this is so weird. But we are just being inundated. And so if you start using retargeting, that is very nuanced. What I would say, what I mean by that is don't put see you on Sunday, everywhere. But maybe it's just you're boosting posts of some of the things that have happened in your youth. Zach, I know you are on a mission to tell stories, boosting those stories or putting those stories in front of the people who've downloaded. Basically, the downloads are this warm audience. And so if you keep on just showing up in their feed, they're going to slowly remember oh, X ministry. Oh yeah, I downloaded that thing. Oh yeah, I should go help out. Or X church, XYZ church, oh yeah, I remember them. Like, and then they're gonna like drive past your building and see it. And so like we're creating these different touch points. And social media is such a cool tool that like you can retarget people without being annoying. I mean, they might get annoyed, but like overall, like you can retarget people and the annoyance factor is lower because they're just accustomed to seeing ads all the time. Mm. So,
yeah, I've thought of a lot about this from the storytelling perspective, and I want to hear your thoughts on the storytelling piece because I don't think anybody has this figured out. But I've put a lot of, and including myself, I would never claim to have said, to say, man, we've got this figured out. But I do think that there's something to, specifically within the Christian, and church, Christian nonprofit and church marketing conversation. Story is incredibly important in this conversation because oftentimes, yes, there's something to be said about intercepting the searches, right? There's there's millions of people that are going to Google looking to how do I deal with my depression, right? And hopefully the church is showing up with 10 ways to deal with your depression biblically, needs articles, right? But there's a massive portion of the population that is far from Christ and has no interest in even having those conversations. They're not really even searching for those things. Maybe they're in most cases, somebody's dealing with something, right? Something difficult is going on in their life. And so whether that's anxiety or depression or you name it, like, I don't know, pick a topic, right? We could speak anything. To that, anything, literally anything. I think the most effective way to reach those individuals before they even start searching is through story, right? When, especially now with social and the adjustments that all these legacy media platforms have made in moving to discovery algorithms rather than feed-based who you follow, who you already know algorithms. There's incredible opportunity to be showing up in people's feeds based on other stuff that they might be consuming, right? So if they're consuming a piece of content or pieces of content that relate to depression, for the church to be showing up with stories of somebody who has walked through depression, been transformed and lifted out of that through transformational work in Christ, and now is walking in a joy-filled life with Christ, man, that story is going to impact and land and meet that person where they're at so much more effectively than here's a logical, reason-based, literacy-based argument for why here's 10 ways to deal with your depression biblically. Right? It's gonna hit heavier. It's going to reach down at an emotional level far deeper than that literacy-based piece can. And then we can say, all right, now that we've engaged with that individual around this story, because that's where they're going, that's why they're going to the digital space to begin with, is to consume story and narrative. Now we can support it with our nurture funnels and our felt needs articles and get them plugged into all the things that we're already doing. And support that engagement. But the engagement piece is the thing I think that we're missing in the Christian nonprofit church space is, man, we're not engaging at all relative and contextually relevant to how people behave in that space. Right, we talked about this offline.
Right.
I don't go to Instagram to see my church and the sermon series that they're going to be starting next Sunday. I don't go to that space for that, right? I go to Instagram and I go to YouTube and I go to Netflix to check out, to veg, to consume story and narrative, to be entertained.
Entertained, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Primarily, first and foremost, that is why I and 99% of the population goes to those spaces. Secondarily, we might go to be educated, right? Maybe I need to learn how to build a do-it-yourself coffee table or redo my cabinets or whatever DIY project you want to talk about, mm-hmm. rebuild my car engine. That is a secondary behavior within the digital conversation. But primarily and first and foremost, I go for story and narrative. And so if we don't start showing up with story and narrative in this conversation, we're going to continue to be dysfunctional and irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And that means that we're now no longer relevant in the cultural conversation that's taking place, mm-hmm. because that is where that conversation is taking place, right? That is where you have to be.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. And I don't think it has to be that hard. Like, like Zach, you have amazing programs for videos, and I think that those are going to be so effective. But people don't have to complicate it. Like, you can do that. You can also, like, post a photo. Like, one of my favorite Instagram photos that our church has posted is our executive pastor wears a polo and shorts all the time. And so for Halloween, the whole staff dressed up in polos and shorts. And they took a picture, posted it on Instagram. That alone is like a story in itself. Like, where suddenly it's like, oh, what happened? How did that happen? Like, and it becomes this comical entertainment piece, but it also becomes this connection piece. And I think that that's also what I love about story, and especially about like the videos that you're talking about, even having somebody speak to their story of depression and how, like, on the other side they have Jesus to walk through. They still are they still have depression, but like they have Jesus with them. Like, and so suddenly I can say, oh, I can relate. Like, I can relate with that person. And so I think that that is the coolest thing about story, is that suddenly we can start putting ourselves into other people's shoes. If you think about, like, way back when, I think they're still around, but the whole I Am Second movement was all these stories about people taking second place to God. And so, like, that movement was really impactful because it was these stories that people were telling over and over again. And it's something that a lot of people, even in the non-Christian space, are familiar with that campaign because it was stories.
Mm.
So,
yeah. Yeah. One of the newest ministries that I think is doing this really, really well. And I think I've maybe referenced them in previous episodes of the show, but Delafe Testimonies. If you go to Delafe, D-E-L-A-F-E Testimonies, I can't remember their website, but just search that on YouTube. And man, they're a primarily YouTube-specific ministry. I think they do some stuff on Instagram, but primarily they're putting their content on YouTube. And I found them I started following them around 2022. They started in 2021, and I think they're over 400,000 subscribers already, millions and millions of views on their content. And it's really simple. Same exact backdrop, same lighting setup, same camera and audio setup. Mm-hmm. It's really the same questions in their interview. They just do an interview a week. They post it. They turn it into micro content with a vertical video. And they're consistent, and they're consistently telling stories of God's transformation in people's lives, real people. And the engagement and the audience and the attention that they're garnering is really significant. And man, that model right there, for every church in America to replicate that model, a story a week, pull a vertical video or reel out of that story per week, and be consistent with my lighting and my audio and all the gear that we get obsessed with. There's no B-roll in these stories. There's nothing. I mean, it is talking head, same setup every single time. They're just consistent. And what would it look like if the church as a global body was producing that level of consistent content? Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah. I mean, you even think about like Compassion International and other like relief organizations. One of the reasons that they're so effective is because of those little cards with like these precious kids' faces and a few facts and stories about them. Like, that is a story. So suddenly if I'm at an event where compassion is, like, inviting people to sponsor a kid, I'm engaged in this kid's story. Like, compassion is acting as, like, the connector between my story and this kid's story. And that's part of why they're so effective. Like, and I realize that there's their own debate around some of that. Like, and so that's, like, a whole different conversation. But when it comes to story, like, you're connecting people with each other. And you're saying, like, hey, I could see myself in their shoes. And if they've engaged with this church or this ministry, like, maybe I should too. Mm. So.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Julia, this has been awesome. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to make sure that I am respectful of your time. But if people want to get a hold of you and learn more about what you're doing, how can they do so?
Yeah, so you can find me personally on Instagram. That's where I spend most of my time, at Julia Block Pearson. But if you want to learn more about Stratos, about ads, about lead generators, you can find us at on Instagram at Stratos Creative. So we spend most of our time on Instagram. If you want to send me an email, you can also do that. It's julia@stratoscreativemarketing.com.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll make sure to put that stuff in the show notes. As we wrap up today, can I pray for you and your company?
I would love that.
Awesome. Father, I just lift up Julia and thank you so much for her willingness to come on the show and to share her insights and expertise with our audience. I pray that you would bless her company and help her to serve her clients well, help her to serve her team well, and continue to develop that culture that she talked so much about. Father, thank you for her willingness to use her gifts and talents that would be given by you to do some really cool stuff. Lord, we love you. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Julia, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Grow Show. If you enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and or review us on the iTunes store. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be an incredible guest on the Ministry Grow Show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at info@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org. See you next time.